So over the last weeks, we've started this series where we're talking about building a faith in Christ. And God wants us to have a foundation in Him and have a house that was built by Him that will withstand the test of time and all the storms that are going to come along during our lives. Because if you remember in Matthew, it simply says that storms are coming. The storm's going to come and the water is going to rise and there's floodwaters are going to take over the building. But if a building that has been built on the rock stands firm, it stands true. But a building that's built on things that are not the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, what's going to happen is they're going to be washed away with the tides and the storm. And God says, I want to do something in you. I have a plan. I have a purpose for each one of you. And my plan is a good plan. It's a plan not to prosper you, not to harm you. It's a plan where you can get to know me. If you seek me, you will find me, he says. And he says, and my plan is a plan that's well thought out. When you go to build a home, you take a lot of time and you plan out the plan, don't you? You sit down with an architect and a builder, and you take the time to make sure it's exactly what you want. And the architect says, oh yeah, those joists can span this far. Those roof trusses are okay to span that far. And if you deviate from that, then the house is going to get weak. But God says, I'm the master builder, and I have a plan. Before you were born, I had a plan for your life. Through all your detours in life and all your dead-end roads in life, I have a plan for every one of those. Through your high points and your low points, I have a plan. I am working on something, and my plan is to do this in you, to make you into the image of my Son. That is His purpose and plan for each one of us. And He uses all the good things in life, the hard things in life, the changes that come along in life. He uses them to build us into the house that He desires. And if you remember last week, we shared this proverb. And it's a proverb that we're going to be kind of going back to throughout this series. And it's in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3. And it says, by wisdom, a house is built. And through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So the last week, if you remember, we talked just briefly about the framing of a home. The week before, we talked about the foundation, and the foundation is something that is it's not a very pretty item. It's something that takes a lot of digging and takes a lot of moving around of dirt, and they have to dig that foundation down until they hit some solid soil that will support the rest of the structure, and then they come in and they pour these walls, and the walls cure, and then they begin the framing process. And we talked about the framing process, and the framing process for us is there's things that make up the house of us. Our relationships make us up. Our time is another 2x4 in the life of us. Our habits, the things that have our attention, the things that are good habits, bad habits, those make up us. Our the way that we spend our money, all these things make up us. And there's all kinds of other 2x4s that make up the structure of us. And God is saying is you can go ahead and try to build your house the way that you want, and you can pick up that 2x4, and you can use your will, your desires to build your house of you, but your 2x4 is going to be warped. It's not going to be true because it's not measured by anything true. But if you're willing to submit to me and willing to open up your life to me and accept my Son as your Savior and say, I want Jesus Christ as my foundation, I'm willing to come in. I'm willing to make the 2x4s true in your life. And the way that I do this is through my word. My word doesn't change. My word is always true. It's the only thing that you can really rely on. And he says, if you're willing to let him place all these 2x4s, the way that you do relationships, you start filtering it through the Bible and you start building on that. The way that you handle marriage, you start building on that. The way that you handle your finances, you start building on the things that God says, this is how you should do it. The way that you do your work, or your businesses, and everything, because the Bible speaks to everything. He says, if you start to use this as your filter, my word, and you start using the wisdom that is in the Bible to build your house, you're going to have a house that's true and straight, and it's going to withstand all of the storms that come along through life, and it will be a foundation and a home that will last the test of time. But the problem is you and I have our own wills and own desires, and we put our own 2x4s in, and they get off a little bit. And then a wind comes along, and the house collapses completely. God says, I don't want that for you. I want you to build a house. And here he says, I want you, the house is built by wisdom. God says, I am the wise builder. I'm the one that has the plan for you. I know what I'm doing. Trust me. And then in the psalm, he says, and then he goes on, he says, that the understanding, it's established. In other words, that you take time to get into God's word and you start to understand it. And then all of a sudden, that foundation, that home, it starts to weather the storms. It gets stronger, it gets truer, and it gets straighter because you're based on that. So you have a home that's established in his word. And then it says through knowledge, his rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. And just simply that just means is as God is going in and remodeling and putting up the 2x4s of your life, he is putting things in the rooms inside of your heart, inside of who you are. And they are going to be rare and beautiful because you're basing it on the wisdom of his truths. Not on your wisdom, not on worldly wisdom, but on the wisdom of his truths. And he says, and I will create things in there that are rare and beautiful. And he says, I want to do this for you. Last week I said, will you do that? Will you let God come in? Will you let him become the master builder in your life? Will you let him become the architect who comes in and he might have to rip out some 2x4s because they're not straight? Or there's some 2x4s that you put in that are going in the wrong directions, because in the framing process, it's so important that all the studs, all the headers, all the plates, and all the rafters and the decking get all fastened together in specific ways. Otherwise, it will collapse. And God says, I want to do that for you. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to give up your heart. You have to be willing to give up your own desires. In our culture, we talk about right and wrong a lot, don't we? But the problem with talking about right and wrong is there's really no right and wrong anymore. I think in our culture, and especially church, we need to start talking about wisdom. Because right now, at no other time in history, is our world devoid or absent of wisdom. Wisdom is getting thinner and thinner and harder and harder and harder to find. The way I would say it's a lot of common sense has left the world. And God says, my book is full of wisdom that does not change. And instead of saying, yes, this is right or wrong, because you can tell a child, you know, this is right or this is wrong, and what happens? A child rebels, don't they? A child thinks, well, if my parents are telling me that this is wrong for me to do, then I should go ahead and do it, because after all, they're old and outdated. They don't even know what they're talking about. So a child makes their own plans and doesn't listen to wisdom. They listen to the right and wrong. I remember there's a coach, he was a wise coach. Instead of saying, this is right and this is wrong, one day he was talking with me, and he was a Christian, and back then you could actually talk about your faith in school to students, believe it or not. And he knew that I was trying to walk in Christ. He knew that I didn't really flow with the circles that were your party years or the kids that were always getting in trouble. But one day he knew that I was hanging around with a group of these kids that were known to always get into trouble. And he asked me, he said, what are you doing? He says, why are you going out with them? He says, you know you're going to get in trouble. And then he said, have you prayed about this? I'm like, did I pray about it? Well, yeah, of course I'm lying, because I didn't pray about it. And then I also said, well, yeah, God said it's okay for me to go out with them. You know what started to happen in that moment? Because of his wisdom of not saying this is right or wrong, his wisdom saying, did you pray about it? Did you take it to God first? Did you search out the wisdom of God before you did anything? What happened is all of a sudden, as I'm driving to this, and it's a party, I'm driving in my car to go to this party, and then all of a sudden, like this cloud just kind of came over me, this cloud of like conviction, going, wait a minute, you lied to your coach, somebody that trusts you, and you lied to God. You didn't seek me out. You didn't ask for anything in prayer. And I'm like going, well, maybe I didn't want to know. I didn't want his answer. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I got almost to that party, and I turned around and drove away. Just had that sense like, I shouldn't be here. Well, what happened is everybody in that party, they got busted. Several of them got arrested. A lot of the boys that were on the football team couldn't play on the football team. And a lot of things happened to some of those kids. And that was all just because a coach used wisdom. Instead of saying this is right or wrong, he says, what does God say about it? What is the truth found in God's word? What is he trying to speak into your life right now? So this morning, as we take a venture through a few more scripture verses, I'm just asking you, would you be willing to let the wisdom of God come into your life? Would you be willing to let the living Word of God actually become part of the framing of you. Because God's Word is living and it's active and it's alive. And He says, I want to build you into something. And the way that I'm building you into something is through my Word. God today speaks primarily through His Word. And it's when we start to listen to His Word that we start to build a foundation and we build a framing, the structure of the home that is strong, it's true, and it's pure. And God says, will you let that happen? You know, some of you've been in church for a long time and you just kind of go through the motions. Maybe you could kind of take a step up and go, you know what? It's time. Time for me to take my faith seriously. Time to take the Word of God seriously and start to apply that to every aspect of my life. When I go to work, when I'm in my friendships, when I'm out with people I know I shouldn't be with, when I'm in my marriage, when I'm handling my funny money, I guess. So you make sure that all those things are being filtered through God, and you're going, God, I want your wisdom. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you don't believe in Jesus Christ. You're kind of going, okay, I believe some of His truths are okay. I believe that He may be a really good teacher, but I'm just not sure about Him. Would you just simply do this? Would you just simply try His Word? Just simply open it up and read it? Because here's what I know. His Word is living, and it gets into the heart and into the soul, and it starts to remodel it, and it starts to shape, and it starts to reveal who He is and what He wants to do in us. And He wants to make all of us into His image. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to 2 Peter, I just want to look at this real quick this morning. There's two simple things this morning. God promises to pave the way for a new you. God wants to show you, and He wants to create in you something new. Because if we're all honest, we've all been building our own homes. We've all been trying to do it ourselves, and we've been using our own discernment, and we've been using our own desires, and to the truth of the matter, as you get older, you start really realizing how many mistakes you've made. And until we start to kind of take a walk back and let God do this remodeling, will we become the image of His Son? And God says, please let me do it. He wants that. He desires it. He wants to bring in a new you. And this thing about being in a relationship with Christ, it's a very spiritual thing. It's not just a thing that you just do. It's something that is in the deepest part of your being, that you belong to this Heavenly Father that says, I love you, I knew you were before you were born, and I gave my Son up so that way you would have salvation. And it's a very spiritual thing. It's not just a feeling that you get. It's not just a bunch of fun songs. We just had a great time and, woo, that was great. And then you have this little fuzzy feeling inside of you. It becomes touchy. It's this deep spiritual thing where God is moving and He's awakening the heart and the soul to His wisdom. And He says, I want to do this for you because I want to be the master builder in you. And I want to make you into the man or the woman that I've always dreamed of making. And how does He do this? And He shows us in these scriptures of how this kind of happens. And it starts out in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. I just love that phrase. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. How do we get the grace and the peace in abundance? We have the knowledge of who God is. We have the knowledge and the wisdom of who Jesus is. And we start to build our house on that. That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. God the Father loves us. God the Father is merciful and full of grace. And I'm building on that foundation. And that foundation, it's not going to waver. It's not going to change. And I'm going to get peace. Because God says, I want to go in there and I want to restore. I want to make this room up and I want to create rare and special things inside you. And He comes in and He says, I'm going to give you peace. And I'm going to give you grace that's in abundance. And then He goes on. And how does He do it? He says, His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And this is just a verse that we should just get a little excited about, because it tells us something about God, that God is doing all the work in us. God is the one who calls people into a relationship. Yeah, you respond to God, but He initiates the relationship. He sustains the relationship. He sustains your salvation. He is the one who does it all. And I love this because it tells us that He has given you and me everything that we need to have lives that are good and godly. Now, we don't like those words in our culture, do we? Godly? We don't want to use it. But God says, this is what I want to do. I want to make you into the image of my Son, which is godly. And He says, but when you accepted my Son, there's this term, there's a new you. You're born again. You're awakened spiritually in that moment. And in that moment, you had this new birth. God placed everything that you will need inside of you. He has placed it there for you to have a good and godly life. It's all inside of you. It's not something that God is adding on, or He's trying to rip this side out and put an addition on. It's all in there already. God says, I put my Spirit in you, and my Spirit is doing some remodeling in you, if you let it. If you listen to my wisdom, if you take my truths and you apply them to your lives, I want to do these things. And then you will see that you will become the image of my Son. He says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And this is just like you were born is the way that I would compare this to. When you were born physically, you had everything that you need. You had the ability to breathe. The ability to swallow, the ability to see, to talk, everything is there. But it has to be nurtured, doesn't it? You have to be willing to grow that child and invest in that child and take time to show them the truths and show them how to eat, show them how to talk, and it's a part of maturity that happens. And the truth is for us is God has placed everything for us inside of us once we were born in Him. We've received Him. He's placed it all inside of us, everything that we need to have good and godly lives. And the problem is this. A lot of people have not matured. A lot of people have not grown their relationship with God. A lot of people are still in the Cheerio phase. They're still in the milk phase. I mean, they've been in the church for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and still they need milk. They still need somebody to come in and coddle them. They still need somebody to come in and put the pacifier in them and go, shh, 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 it's okay. And what the scripture is telling us here is we got to grow. We got to mature into the building that God wants us to. It's all in there. But we got to do something in there. And it's not doing something to earn God's grace, earn God's love, or you've got it all. Because Christ offered it all on the cross. If you've accepted it, you have all of His love, all of His grace that you will ever need and can get. But He says, but there's something that you have to do. You have to respond. Look at the way that the author says this in verse 4. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate and the divine nature. So there's this thing that God wants us to participate, wants us to become this building that's different, a building that is like His Son, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make what? Make every effort. You have to make every single effort to become the person that God wants you to become. And that's taking the wisdoms that is found in His Word and applying it to your life, getting into it, and making sure it's part of the building of you. And it's not just an afterthought. It's not just coming here on a Sunday morning or once a month or maybe come on Easter or Christmas or special things. It's getting into God's Word and getting into God at such a deep level. You're so connected to Him that every fiber of you is connected by these fasteners. Just like in a house. Everything is connected with fasteners. The plate is bolted down to the foundation. If it's not, it'll slide off. The studs are nailed in. All the headers are nailed in. Any decks or their leg bolted in by these fasteners. The rafters have fasteners that hold them together. And God says, you're just like a house. It's a painful process sometimes. It's a tedious process, but you got to make sure it all connects to me. And I can be the one that can fasten it all together. And He says, but I want you to make every single effort. What does that mean? Every single effort that you have. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted, blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. And in other words, the reason that we want God to build us and keep adding all of these things to us, and again, they're all things that are in there. They're all placed in there, but you have to desire God to awaken those things in you. You have to ask God to awaken goodness in you. Awaken self-control, not because you're trying to earn God's favor, but because you want to become the house that he wants you to be, the one that he's always dreamed of, like his son. And then you say, God, I want you to awaken love in me and brotherly kindness. I want these to define the characteristic of my home, my spiritual home of me. And God says, I'll come in and I'll do it. If you don't do that, you end up being babies, immature, ineffective, and not growing in your knowledge or in your faith. And your faith, your foundation of you, is going to get washed away as soon as a storm comes along. As soon as something that you don't like, something that doesn't make sense happens in your life, your faith will be washed away. God says, that's not what I gave you. I gave you a spirit, a spirit that is not of fear. I give you a spirit that is sure and true and is based in my teachings and based in my word, and he's speaking inside of you, remodeling you. But will you let him? So simply speaking, we can just say this. We need to raise our spiritual literacy. We need to come awake to God's word again. How do we do this? Well, the first thing is simply read it. Get into it. Start not just study, but just read it. Oh, I don't like to read. Don't give me that. You read the Guns Digest, Fishing Magazine, Cosmopolitan, which I don't even know why you'd read it. But you read all these other magazines. You read the news. You read all the texts that people send to you. You read all the articles online. Don't tell me you can't read or you don't like to read. You read every moment of your day. Stop using it as an excuse. Start building your house of you with wise 2x4s, with a framing system that is built in Scripture. Second thing we need to do is we need to study it. Oh yeah, you need to study God's Word. It's not easy. It's difficult sometimes. Just like when a builder gets a blueprint, he doesn't just go, oh, got it, ready, go, then start building the house by memory. He goes back to that drawing and he studies that drawing and he makes sure that this wall is this high and this wall is that high, because if this wall is an inch off from over here, by the time you get to the top, you're about 5 inches off and you got a house that leans like this. He has to study it. He has to make sure that he's following the plan, and you and I have to study. You have to dig in. I don't like to study. Get over it. You learn anything about a dishwasher to make it work. You learn anything about a stereo system to make it work. You learn anything about a gun, how to tear it apart. Right? And on, you can just keep using examples, but God says, start to study it. There's no excuse in our culture. There's iPhones, there's iPads, there's every single computer, there's apps for this, there's an app for that, and there's all kinds of Bible study material all over the place. Stop making excuses. Third thing, we need to meditate on it. I know that's not a cool word in our culture. I know it's a hard thing to do, but it's actually taking God's word, a piece of it, where you're reading it over and over and over, and you're going, God, what do you want to say to me? And you're going, God, what do you want to say to me? God, what do you want to say to me? Then finally you get to the point where you go, my lips are sealed, God speak. And you meditate on it until all of a sudden that becomes part of the structure of you. And it's a wise foundation. The fourth thing that we need to do is memorize it. Kelly, I don't like to memorize. That's so old-fashioned. We don't get gold stars anymore. I'll give you a gold star if you start memorizing scriptures. I'll put your name on a board up here, all the way across here, if you will tell me a scripture verse every single day. Memorizing things. I can't do it. You memorize phone numbers. You memorize combinations, passwords. You memorize people's names. You memorize all types of songs. Let me just tell you, we were going from the beach, and I had a truckload of teenage girls going after a youth event. And let me tell you, they knew those songs by heart. If I heard Adele Hello Again, I think I was going to shoot myself. I even know that song now. So we can memorize things, but it takes work. It takes effort. And then the fifth thing you have to do, you have to live it. You have to live it out. You can't just have all this knowledge. You have to live it out. Listen to what the people of Israel said about God's word, and we'll close with this. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength." And this, they said, this is the core of our foundation. We are going to love the Lord God. We are going to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, with every fiber that we have in us. And then they said, these commandments, the word of God, the commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you're walking along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. And that's just simply for us, really taking God's word seriously and really bringing it into our lives. They used to take these little leather things, and they were little square things, and they'd put parts of the Torah in there so that they would have the word of God with them. They might put it on their arm. They might wear it around their neck. They wanted to be with the word of God all the time. We need to start to walk with each other, talk about God's word, share God's word. What good is it for you to study God's word and never to share it with your children? Father, to go home and just read a psalm to yourself and never once mention it to your children, you shouldn't do that. You're missing out. Women, same thing. God says, I want you to share this when you're walking along the road, when you're driving down the road, when you're texting. Do this. So I want to put a challenge out. God wants to build the house of you. And he says, but you got to build it on wisdom, and it's the wisdom of his word. There's a book called Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in that book. I'm asking that you will go on a journey with me for the next 31 days, that you'll read one chapter a day. And you'll read it, and you'll let one, maybe two verses come up to the surface. And then you'll write those verses down, and maybe a sentence about what they might mean to you. And you think, okay, I can do that. This is the real tricky part. Then I want you to text it to somebody. This is the verse God put on my heart today. This is what it means to me. Well, I don't have texting. You have email. Use email. You have Facebook. You have phones. Call someone. Tell them. Talk about it. So will you join me for the next month? Next 30 days, just opening up the Word of God. Start out with Proverbs 1 today, Proverbs 2, and you get it once a day. And here's what I know. If you and I lean into God's Word, he's going to lean into us and do great things. Because he says, I want to do this for you. I want to build you into the image of my Son. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and God, I thank you that your word is so true, that you have this desire in us to create in us something that is very beautiful. You've given us all of your wisdom through your word, through your understanding. And Lord, I would ask that you'd help us to be people who have a desire to come into this relationship with you and make your word our filter for life, for the filter for our marriages, for the filter of how we do our businesses, and all of our friendships. But Lord, we just ask that you would make us into the people that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.